Lights. Camera. Action. It's the KSL Movie Show.
Not getting a real under control vibe here.
With Doug Wright and Steve Sales. The week's big movie review, movie news, trivia, games, and prizes. All on the KSL Movie Show. Here's Doug Wright.
He's not a monster, Gaston. You are.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Well, it's time, ladies and gentlemen, for the movie show. Here at KSL News Radio. Steve, are you ready? Have you been working out?
Yes, sir.
Sure you have. Okay.
I actually started a new program. I'm tired of being fat, and I'm going to get...
Cutting down a pine tree?
Well, that
helps.
We had, you know, how we have the dumpsters come in the county every once a year or whatever.
Right.
My neighbors go, hey, what are we going to cut down? I'm like, let's not worry about it this year. Oh, no. Like... Half a dozen people came over and like, okay, I guess we're doing this.
I guess we're so they took down your garage.
We don't need this house. Just
that's right.
Level it.
We've always been kind of annoyed that that old Ford tractor of yours took it apart, threw it in.
No, they love the tractor.
Oh boy,
that's our snowplow.
I love the tractor too.
That's our neighborhood snowplow.
Well, Stephen,
the I think rains last night though, man, did you have
rains any? All? You know, yeah. Well, you know, it was interesting because Dee and I were driving home from. Taking care of my mom. And anyway, we were in a place and the rain was so hard. You know how you can see it on the parking lot? And
right.
It was just bouncing. I mean, it was crazy.
I went to see Amsterdam last night. By the way, what a movie.
Yeah.
And the southwest corner of Liberty Park, there was the greats. It was like a fountain coming straight up out of the... And
I
people
know.
Were flying through there at 60 miles an hour, spraying cars four lanes over. I'm like,
that's, right.
That's impressive, but how are you still planing?
I know. That I'll tell you, hydroplaning freaks me out.
Oh, that is...
We've all had little tastes of it, but wow.
Yeah.
Talk about being out of control. It's worse than snow.
Oh.
At least snow you can kind of predict a little bit, and you know what's happening to you. And that, you just go, I'm skiing.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Well, meanwhile, back at the ranch, we probably ought to give the movie show preview, sponsored by our friends at Call Climate Services. Here we go.
The following preview has been rated G and is appropriate for all audiences.
Coming up on today's movie show, the big movie review.
And the big movie review is going to be one of the most unique movies I've ever seen. You know, this is basically a rom-com where the... You know, the great gay neighbor and everything else, you know, isn't just a subplot.
Oh, no.
It's the real deal. This is a gay love story, rom-com, where all of the roles have just been switched and the straight folks are just the sidelines and that unique neighbor or unique sister or whatever.
Yeah.
And it is such... I was laughing my tail off. And I'll tell you this, too, you know... Sometimes, you know, when plot lines go too far, you know, either sexually or whatever, you know, but whether it's heterosexual, homosexual, it doesn't matter. Is it offensive for either? And I just realized what an equal opportunity film this is. And I laughed a lot. And there were places I went, whoa, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see it, you know, gay or straight, you know?
Yeah.
So,
but the heart of that film and the humor and the depth of the characters
and the
was what really sold me on this movie.
Yep, the sweetness of it, the genuineness of it. And so I know it's
when I turned to you and I said, so are we doing this as the movie,
I said, yes.
Big movie of the week? I'm like, good for you. This is, because this is probably one of the better films of the week.
And it's such a unique, it is just a classic love story for today.
Yeah.
That, you know, and some people are going to freak.
Yeah, no, but just don't go.
Yeah.
I mean, that's as simple as that. If you're uncomfortable, and there are some moments that push the envelope, and you're like, okay, but I kept thinking, what if I was gay and I'm watching a straight love story? Wouldn't I feel equally kind of...
You know, it's funny. Do you know what I was thinking of about halfway through? I thought, I remember when I first saw In-N-Out with Kevin Klein, Selleck... You know, and I remember there was the one big old, and I remember how strange that was.
Yeah,
and honestly, I'll, you know, it was uncomfortable.
Yeah,
And I just thought, oh, my goodness.
We've come a long way.
We have come a long way, baby. So, anyway, Bros is the big movie of the week, but yeah. also Smile, Greatest Beer Run Ever, The Good House, Buried, 1982, Alpine Meadows, Avalanche.
Oh, what a movie.
And then I tried to watch, you know, Disney Plus drives me nuts. Because when they send us, you know, the screener.
Right.
I can get everybody else who sends me a screener. We just sign on, and they send us a little confirmation on the phone, and you put in the code.
Are you having problems with
Disney
debut?
Disney Plus is insane. Every time we have to call Disney, they walk us through. They go, well, that shouldn't happen. Well, that shouldn't happen. Oh, I'm sorry you're having so much. Oh, that. Or, well, that shouldn't happen. I'm not kidding you. I don't know what it is. I don't have this problem with anybody else. But this is a long way of saying I have not seen Hocus Pocus 2, but I gave it the old college try.
Well, I appreciate that. By the way, I got my booster shot on Wednesday along with, and I probably shouldn't have done this, but I got my flu shot at the same time. And I went home, and I did not feel well. And
yeah.
Wednesday night was the Smile screening, and I missed it.
Yeah.
But I do know about it, and we can talk about it because it looks like it's actually pretty decent.
The other movie, too, streaming is Blonde. This is the one that, I mean, NC-17 rating, and
I must be just way out there because I'm still trying to figure out why it's NC-17, to be honest.
Hmm.
I mean, there's some moments that are kind of like, whoa.
Yeah.
But I've seen stuff like that on other movies that are rated PG-13.
It is funny how the ratings work. You know, and we've talked about this for so long, and that's why you kind of need to think for yourself.
But NC-17 used to be like, that's the kiss of death.
Well, remember when a movie was given an X back in the old days?
Yeah, Midnight Cowboy.
Oh, I mean, it was just a death note. Last Tango in Paris.
Yes.
And, you know, and everything else. And now, you know, I mean, everything that was rated X then, right now, is a very mild, you know, R, maybe even a PG-13, maybe not quite, but NC-17, you see NC-17, and it's like somebody, you know, you feel like you need to put, you know, garter gloves around your neck and break out a silver bullet or something.
Although this is almost a 3-hour movie, and it's about Marilyn Monroe, and it is the young woman, Ana de Armas, is unbelievably good in a very tough movie to watch.
So we have a plethora.
We got a ton of stuff.
Of films to talk about today, and we've got movie news, and what else do we have? We've got our special guest, who is the public relations coordinator for the Salt Lake County Library System. We're going to talk about some of the films they have. You know, the library does some really cool stuff when it comes to films, and we always try to reach out and see, you know, who's doing what when it comes to showing movies. And then Dee is going to join us with her, since she come back from Missouri.
She come back with many movies that she wants.
She come back, and she's going to enlighten us on quirky picks this week. And Telephone Torture, the movie show top 10, we've got it all right here at KSL.
And now, the big movie review. Doug and Steve tell you exactly what they think of the biggest release of the week.
Okay, let's get a little sound from Bros.
You met a guy?
I don't think I'm his type. He's like gay Tom Brady.
What are you into? One of these ripped idiots with no opinions?
No, I'd like someone who's physically very frail and won't stop talking.
And I bet he's as intimidated by you as you are by him.
I'm down for whatever.
Yeah, I can do whenever, and I can do whatever.
Cool. Whatever, whenever. GIF of Michael Scott dancing.
Office GIF? This person isn't gay.
You know, I knew that I was in for a unique experience on this, Steve, when I was laughing so much so early. We find this gay man who is, you know, he does a lot of different things, and he's got a podcast and everything else, and he takes phone calls, and he's just so curt, and he's so blunt and everything else. You can tell this guy is, there might be a little anger factor going on here, some angst.
Well, if you know Billy Eichner, that's kind of his brand.
Right.
And he does anger on the streets, Billy on the streets.
Right.
So, yeah, his character is sort of that way.
But he's also kind of the director, the curator for the Gay History Museum that they're opening.
Yeah.
And there's a real challenge there, you know, what kind of thing. And you've got this table just surrounded with all of these different unique individuals.
Well, all the LGBTQ.
But the guy that always sits right across from me goes, but where's the bi? And may you go, well, isn't that B? I don't know.
I think it is.
I think it is too. But everybody has their little agenda and their little quirkiness, and trying to put together this museum is one of the kind of underlying parts of this. But the bottom line is this is a rom-com. It's a love story.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious in places. And like many rom-coms, whether it is focusing on straight people or whether it's focusing on gay people, it has some moments that I was uncomfortable with. But it was something that I would have been uncomfortable with had it been a gay rom-com or this one, which focuses on
you mean straight or
straight or gay, right? I went backwards on that. But the bottom line is, there is a sweetness in this, and kind of to like everybody who's out on the dating scene, everybody who's trying to find a relationship, everybody who's trying to figure out, and you're making prejudgments just because a guy looks a certain way. Is he that bro jock, you know, whatever, or is there a sensitive side? It was so interesting because you could have done this story about straight people as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have to admit, Steve, I was really surprised that I liked this movie this much. And it wasn't because I went in with an agenda or anything like that. I just thought, is this going to be any good? And it was. It really was.
Well, to me, the film, the comedy I knew would be there because Billy Eichner is hilarious.
Right.
And the writing, and then the fact that, what's his name, the guy that did the 40-Year-Old Virgin, Apatow, Judd Apatow was the one that directed this. And so you knew it was going to have a comedic element. But what really caught me off guard was there are stereotypes with gay people or straight, and that they went through that to show you that, you know, everybody at the dance club shirtless, you know, and they're all buff and everything. That's kind of a, even within the community, is a stereotype that they're like trying to fight.
And they are making fun of it, though.
Well, absolutely.
You know, which is so cool.
When he's a guy that's like just there because, you know, he just wants to get out and do stuff. But he's, you know, he's emotionally unavailable.
Right.
And then the guy that he's interested in, the gay Tom Brady character, he's also emotional. So they're kind of like, I don't really want to talk to you. I don't want to talk to you either.
Yeah.
And yet
they're both kind of done with it from different angles.
Exactly. But the idea is once you get into past the surface part of it, you know, there's intelligence, there's interest, there's joy, there's caring. I mean, all these things that, you know, like you said, it doesn't matter whether it's gay or straight. It's a human condition.
It is a human love story condition dealing with different, you know, every ethnicity has interesting challenges and stereotypes to deal with. Every color, every religion, whatever it might be. This one happens to focus on the gay community.
Yeah.
And it, you know, and I want to be really clear on this. There are some folks that are really going to have problems with this movie. You know, they're just not there yet. And I get that. But every problem I had with this movie, I would have had it been the same thing portrayed in a heterosexual situation, a straight movie. And, you know, I sat there and I don't mean to go off the rails on this, but I thought, wow, you know, this is really a kind of a quantum leap.
This is groundbreaking.
Because I mentioned,
this is Universal Studios.
Yeah.
This isn't some little neon or, you know, film-wise
some company. Little indie
It's a major studio doing a rom-com about a gay couple.
Yeah.
And that has never happened before.
Now, here's the interesting thing with the caveats I've already mentioned. You know, there are going to be some things that offend you. And again, what offended me would have offended me in a straight movie as well.
Well, there's very frank discussions about
very
sexuality.
Very frank discussions, and there are some you know, bedroom scenes that...
Well, how about the guy named Steve who was trying to get in on the, you know, the little love triangle?
Oh, that was, it was
that
hilarious.
Poor guy. It was hilarious.
It was hilarious. Inappropriately hilarious.
I know.
And so, you know, for me, I'm just giving this a... I struggle with this because on your scale, I'd probably give it a B. But it's actually better than that.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of factoring in some reservations here. So I don't know. I'm going to on 3 stars from me on this one. But again, you know, judge for yourself. Don't judge by a rating. Judge for yourself. Read a little bit about the movie and see whether or not this is something you're going to like.
A B+ from me. I just thought it met every expectation and above.
It didn't meet my expectations at all because I really didn't have a whole lot when I went in.
Well, I was expecting not much.
And I was, yeah, me too. And I just found myself laughing empathizing, feeling good, feeling bad, going, woo. And
yeah, you almost tear up a couple of times when things are going south, as they usually do in rom-coms. But yes, this movie works.
Okay. All right. And it's called Bros. But, you know, again, you know, make the decision for yourself on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Don't let somebody else make it for you. And, all right. It's time for a little movie news. Here we go.
This is Lowell Thomas speaking, flashing to you the news of the world.
We return now to the KSL Newsreel. The biggest stories from the world of movies, cinema, and the star-studded glamour of Hollywood.
Okay, if you're going through a little Wolverine withdrawal.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, you heard of this one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought this was so cool. This was kind of announced in a unique way on the historic Marvel Day. And the history of this day goes back 3 years ago on September 27th, 2019. Marvel Studios and Sony Pictures finally, you know, reached an agreement to keep Spider-Man in the MCU, and it opened doors and so on. So anyway, on this day, we find out apparently that Hugh Jackman will be playing Wolverine at least one more time. And apparently Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool is sitting around trying to figure out a way to off himself, you know, which he's always doing, wants to end it all and just can't. But then all of a sudden you see Jackman walking in the back of the room, and Reynolds simply asks if Wolverine would be interested in portraying Weapon X in Deadpool 3. Jackman simply responds with a nonchalant, "Sure." And it this confirmed Deadpool 3 to be a team-up between the Merce with the Mouth and the Metal-Clawed Mutant. So apparently this is what we're going to have. This is going to be fun. Can you imagine Deadpool?
Well, somebody are freaking out because Logan, you know, that was kind of...
Oh, that was the end.
That was the end.
That
but
was
apparently
the end.
This is placed somewhere in between, so don't freak out. He's not resurrected or anything.
So this is only set for Deadpool 3. Many have already begun to wonder whether there might be another Marvel appearance, especially in 2025's Avengers Secret War, which is a multiverse crossover. But don't get your hopes up.
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? What have you got for us, Stephen?
Well, the movie called Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes begins production next month. Now, as you recall, the new series, a new franchise, is just overwhelming. I mean, yeah. Caesar was just incredible. So this will be, Wes Ball will be, he's the guy that has been directing the Maze Runner trilogy. He will direct it. And it picks up many years after the 2017's War of the Planet of the Apes. And it is slated on 20th Century Studios in 2024.
Cool. Brendan Fraser, set to add another award to the old mantelpiece. And apparently, in the upcoming psychological drama, The Whale, he is terrific. Have you seen anything on this at all?
I've seen pictures of him.
Yeah.
He is a large man.
Yeah.
He has put on a ton of weight. And I don't think it was just for this movie. I think he kind of got away from everything.
I've seen a lot of pictures of him lately. And, you know, interestingly enough, I was just surfing something last night, and they were running an old Saturday Night Live where he was on.
Mm.
And, you know, kind of the way he was back in the Mummy days.
Yeah.
And you go, ooh, this boy has changed. But he'll be awarded the American Riviera Award at the 38th Annual Santa Barbara International Film Festival. He's fast becoming an Academy Award favorite for this performance, I understand.
Huh.
Buzz is the term. The Whale is due for release in December, on December 9th, as a matter of fact. The Whale will find Brendan leading the latest outing from Darren Aronofsky as Charlie, a 600-pound middle-aged man trying to reconnect with his 17-year-old daughter.
Wow.
So
in the last season of Fargo, he also had an appearance where he was a large guy there as well. Well, somebody's finally paying attention to Disney. But this is a shocker to me. originally, Marvel had planned to do Armor Wars, a 6-episode streaming series for Disney Plus.
Right.
But now they've decided to make it a feature film and put it in theaters.
No.
What?
What?
I know. So the new film will feature Colonel Rhodes, Rhodey, played by Don Cheadle, who will be dealing with the theft of Tony Stark's armor technology.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably a 2020 2025 release.
I know.
We're down the road.
Well, James Earl Jones is stepping back from the Darth Vader role, but is he? This is kind of an interesting thing. Voice between, behind the legendary Star Wars villain Darth Vader. But he's 91 years old now. And it's interesting, Star Wars sound supervising editor Matthew Wood said Jones was looking to wind up his career, this character in the career, but his voice was remastered from the original Star Wars films for a recent Disney Plus series, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of Jones's archival voice recordings were used for future Star Wars projects. Jones has granted permission to Disney and Lucasfilm to use artificial intelligence and archival recordings to recreate his voice.
Just send him a check.
So, just send me a check every now and then.
And one brief note, the Now You See Me, we had two movies so far.
Yeah.
There's going to be a third.
And oh, really?
It'll be directed by the guy that's directed Venom. So,
man, the first one was so good. The second one so wasn't.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so the third.
And here's one that's kind of interesting. Jonathan Majors, we've seen him in a few things, and he will be a much bigger character in the MCU coming forward. But he's in early talks to play Dennis Rodman.
Oh, gee.
And in a specific, it's called 48 Hours in Vegas. Do you remember in the 1998 NBA playoffs against the Utah Jazz?
I know.
He got permission from this coach to just bug out for 48 hours since he didn't have a game to go to Vegas. And so this is a movie about what in the heck he did for 48 hours in Vegas. Although, Rodman needs no help at all in promoting himself. But Jonathan Majors is a great young actor, and that could be interesting to
remember see. Remember that era, how weird that was? And, we have a workout facility at Broadcast House. And
we do?
Yeah, we do. for the people that actually go to Broadcast House once in a while, yeah. But downstairs... And it would be just below the newsroom area. And I remember some of the folks were going down. They go, Madonna's down there working out.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, because she was in town with Dennis Rodman. Yeah. And, people are going, Madonna's downstairs working out.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that was back in a unique era.
Yeah.
To say the least.
Stockton and Malone.
Okay, yeah. All right. Well, on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we shall take a brief break. And when we come back, which movie should we take a look at?
Let's see.
We have a plethora.
The greatest beer run ever.
The greatest beer run ever. This is conference weekend, Steve.
I know. We'll maybe get it out of the way early.
Okay. All right.
But no, you're going to like this movie. The reason, the beer has nothing to do with anything.
Uh-huh. So this isn't Smokey and the Bandit and they're trying to get Coors somewhere.
No. This is much cooler movie.
Much cooler movie.
Well, as far
cooler
as,
than Burt Reynolds?
As far as the reason why he's there.
And Jackie Gleason?
I know.
And,
I mean, that was a fun movie, but this is more of a, dude, what are you thinking?
The Movie Show.
Hey, look, he's trained.
Shake.
Uh-huh.
Speak.
Hi there.
Did that dog just say hi there?
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Okay, let's take a look at another movie, and this one is the greatest beer run ever.
I'd like to go over to Vietnam, track down all the boys in the neighborhood, and give them a beer.
I could do that.
Do what?
Bring him beer.
He's not serious. He's hammered. Look at him.
The man's stone sober. That's his fifth beer, maybe. Tops.
I'm going to Vietnam, and I'm bringing him beer!
Yeah! That's a little different than going to Daddy's party with a truckload of Coors down in Louisiana or wherever that was.
And by the way, that voice was the bartender, Bill Murray.
Really?
Yeah, and he's got like short, croppy hair, like a Jonah Jameson kind of. And I looked at him like, dude, that's a good look for you, Bill. Anyway, he's an old colonel. The boys are over in Vietnam. This is 67. And a lot of the kids in the neighborhood, some are coming back in boxes, and it's getting ugly. And he goes, it would be so cool to just let those boys know how much we appreciate them being there.
Yeah.
There's four or five guys, and we kind of know about where they are. And, and Chicky, this guy, played by Zac Efron, he says, I'll do it. And as soon as he said it, he's thinking, I'm not doing this. The whole neighborhood goes, hey, would you take this rosary to my son?
Oh, wow, yeah.
When you go over there, would you tell him that we love him? And I mean, and now he's got to the point where he can't not go.
Right.
So he's a merchant marine, a seaman, and he's an oiler for the engine. And he gets on a freighter, and he's got a duffel bag filled with Pabst Blue Ribbon, which is kind of a not that great a beer. I laughed because I thought, well, that's kind of sad. But anyway, for 2 months, he's going over. He finally gets there, and he has no idea what to do. Literally runs into a kid who he goes, wait a minute, are you in the 63rd, whatever?
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, do you know this guy? And he ends up finding the first guy, and he goes, dude, what are you doing here? This is a war zone. I mean, this is right before the Tet Offensive.
Yeah.
So things are going to get ugly. And at one point, he gets a ride up to, and he's just, one of the guys, the sergeant goes, man, this guy's too dumb to die.
Yeah.
You know, because he just shows up, starts handing out beers to everybody, and it's kind of hilarious, but then you start to see the ugliness of the war. And when he finally gets way north, I mean, he is deep in the jungles, and he walks up to this guy, one of his buddies from the neighborhood, and he goes, you should not be here.
Wow.
I'm sorry you're here. Thank you for the beer, but this is ridiculous. You are in serious danger. At one point, they won't let him in a transport because he's a civilian.
Yeah.
He has to walk 16 miles in the dark way north where there's Viet Cong everywhere, and he's just the luckiest dumb guy ever. But he starts to realize this is serious business. And but it's so cool. When the idea is, we want to thank you for being there.
Right,
was the whole point of this.
So what's the grade?
I give it a B.
A B, okay.
And it's Peter Farrelly who did the Green Book movie. And so it has a lot of heart and a lot of good stuff in it, and I just really enjoyed this film. Oh, Russell Crowe is a photojournalist for Time, and he's in Saigon and kind of helps him through.
And it's rated?
It is rated, it's probably R.
Probably R. Okay, and three stars.
It is our select theaters today,
okay,
but on Apple TV Plus as we speak.
And the greatest beer run.
The Movie Show.
Are you stuck-up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder?
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Ah, 'tis the Movie Show here at KSL News Radio. Still to come, we're going to be talking about some of the movies that are streaming right now. Blonde, all about Marilyn Monroe, carries an NC-17 rating on TV.
It's on Netflix.
Wow.
Netflix.
I didn't even know that there was an NC-17 rating when it comes on TV. You know, normally it's MA whatever.
They're also doing select theaters.
Okay, so that's why it is to be
viable for the Oscars, because Ana de Armas is unbelievable in this movie.
And Hocus Pocus 2.
Yeah, that's a Disney Plus.
We'll be talking about that and more. Hey, we have the PR coordinator with the Salt Lake County Library System, Jeff Bidos, who's on the line with us right now. We like to check in with anybody who's doing fun stuff when it comes to screening movies, highlighting movies, whatever it is. And sometimes we tend to overlook some of the things that are just right literally in our neighborhood, our backyards. And first of all, Jeff, welcome to the Movie Show. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you so much for having me again.
Okay, Jeff, we got to find out what's happening at the library.
Yeah, well, we got a lot of stuff going on in October. We tend to, around the holidays, do some different movies. And really, we do even more in October than we would do, say, for like Christmas, because we have so many different kinds of like Halloween movies. So we have two different movie blocks that are happening throughout the month. The first one is on Monday nights, and that's our Freaky Family Films. That's at 7 o'clock. And then our second one is Frightening Flicks, and that happens on Thursdays at 7. And the difference between the two is the Monday night movies are kind of made more for families, and then the Thursday night movies, they're a little bit scarier.
Yeah. Let's talk about where these actually screen. There are lots of libraries out there. Tell us how it works and how it's decided where these movies will show.
Well, we have a 25-foot screen. I don't think a lot of people know about it here at the Viridian Event Center. That's in West Jordan. That's where we show all the movies. Not only do we have that, but we have just a kicking sound system. So you have really loud, good like horror sounds coming out of it, and the big screen. And like the cool thing I think about it is, is that a lot of these movies you've seen at home or you've seen on, you know, I think I have like a 40-inch TV. That's right. Not going to do a lot of these movies justice.
No. You know, isn't that true? And it's amazing how many great classic movies, fun movies, family movies, scary movies, whatever they might be, have only been seen on whatever the size is in your family room. And, you know, when I grew up, remember Steve, when a 25-inch TV, that was the pinnacle.
Oh, we got a color, a 25-inch TV. We were the kings of the block.
And I remember seeing so many movies on that, you know, the whatever, Magnavox. And then I remember when I got the 40-inch tube TV from Mitsubishi, and that was
400 pounds.
The talk of the neighborhood. Then you started getting flat screen and 50-inch, 70-inch, you know, and on and on and on. But I don't care how big your home TV is, there's something about seeing these classic movies on the big screen with a great sound system and in a communal environment.
Yeah.
You know, where you watch them together. You got to tell us more about the Viridian. Tell us where we're at and how people can make sure that they get there on time and can participate.
Yeah, so the Viridian is in West Jordan. It's near Veterans Park. So all you have to do is come out to West Jordan. It's kind of centrally located. I think that's why we picked that area. It's right in the middle of Salt Lake County, so everyone can kind of get out to it. And we set up tables so that people can come in and they can sit together in a group. They can even bring their own food in if you want to bring your dinner. And we can kind of violate those movie theater rules a little bit. I know you're not supposed to sneak your snow caps in, but, you know, you can do that here and you don't have to sneak. So we set that up that way. And 7 p.m. Mondays and Thursdays. And we do a little activity beforehand. So if you want to arrive early with your family or your friends, we'll have something fun to do. Not sure exactly what we're going to be doing this year, but, you know, it might be some trivia or some things like that, or just some games that are pertaining to the movies or Halloween or something like that. So
that is cool.
Any particular titles? Or?
Yeah. What are some of the movies you're going to be showing?
Well, you know, this is so weird. I can't actually mention the movies, but I did come up with some descriptors that you might be able to figure out. So we'll say that we're going to be busting some ghosts for the Freaky Family films.
Yeah,
that's pretty subtle.
There's a kid who can see some dead people.
Ooh.
We have a bunch of whimsical witches.
Whimsical witches.
Whimsical witches, and I think I may have heard you talking about those witches just a couple minutes ago. And we have a man who might maybe mean more of a chicken than a man.
Ooh.
And that one's going to be a throwback movie if you can think about what that might be. So those are family films, and then the King of Horror will be our main focus on our frightening flicks. So you're looking at like clowns and Five Scary Stories and maybe some telekinetic teenagers. And then the one I can't wait to see on the big screen is it's a haunted hotel. We can kind of leave it at that. So
ooh.
I think people know.
Very cool. You know, I kind of got the drift on most of those films, and you've got some good ones lined up. And some of them are really going back classic. You know, what you mentioned, the chicken factor, and I can envision that right here, right now. So this is Monday are the Freaky Family films, and then on Thursday gets a little scarier, right?
Yep, that is correct. Both of those at 7 p.m., they're always free. Everything we do at the County Library is always going to be free, including this. So anyone's welcome to come out and partake in the movies. It's a super fun time.
Oh, that is fun. And can they get more information on the website?
Yeah, that's real easy. Just thecountylibrary.org, and then you /movies, and all of the titles are right there and the times and everything.
County Library, org. Got it. Hey, Jeff, thank you for taking time to join us. And do keep us in the loop on these cool things that you're planning. I love the library for about every reason you can imagine. And I think of our little library in Holiday, you know, just what a gathering place it is.
Yeah.
To be able to show these films in kind of a centralized location where you can kind of do the bigger spread, that's really cool. I appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Can't wait to come back.
Oh, absolutely. All right. On that note, we probably ought to take a little break. And when we come back, we've still got telephone torture to deal with.
Oh.
And we've still got the movie show top 10.
And we still have like 28 movies.
That's so true.
The movie show.
Where are you now?
I'm sitting in my office.
I doubt that.
Why would you doubt that?
If you were in your office right now, we'd be having this conversation face to face.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Okay, Stephen, let's get right to it. And we're doing The Good House?
Yes, sir.
Okay, here we go. A little sound.
It's okay to be angry and scared. It's okay to ask for help.
I'm tired of sweeping everything under the rug.
I didn't realize I was doing that.
I feel like myself with you. Usually I only feel like myself when I have a drink in my hand.
Do what you need to do, Hildy. I'm not going anywhere.
Boy, this got some great, great actors in this that I really admire.
Well, that's the thing. You haven't seen them for a while, and so when they come back, it's like a homecoming.
Yeah.
And this is a little seaside town called Wendover, Massachusetts.
Wendover, Massachusetts.
Yeah, and it's a gorgeous little area. And Hildy Good is played by Sigourney Weaver. She is the realtor for the area. Well, there's another one. Used to work for her, and now they're competing for clients. And she has been like the Northern Bay Area Realtor of the Year several times. So people know her pretty well. But she's getting some, you know, some fight from this other newcomer.
Yeah.
In the meantime, this she's divorced, although still very close friends with her ex. They have two daughters, both of them kind of struggling a little bit. But mom's there to kind of help with some finances and whatnot when the real estate business is good. And then also in the neighborhood is Frank. This is played by Kevin Kline. They were kind of childhood sweethearts in high school. And things just, you know, didn't work out, and they went their separate ways. But they still have a fondness for each other. She'll hire him sometimes because he's an independent contractor and, you know, does remodeling work. And so this is just a little sweet little movie. Sigourney Weaver, though, has a drinking problem. And she thinks she's just a garden variety, you know, drinker.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of times where she's, you know, woken up on, you know, on the basement floor or whatever, and her kids, she walks in, they have an intervention for her. So, but as happens often when people go to rehab, it doesn't often take, you know, the first time or the second time or the third time. So there's a reality issue here about what's happening with this woman who's very, I mean, she's all put together and well-respected in the community. And she thinks she can pull this off and drink as much as she does and still, you know, function. Be high functioning. So that's what this movie is about. It's about a high functioning alcoholic who thinks she can do what she really can't do. And the people around her who are, you know, they're not cookie cutter people, but they have issues and everybody's kind of like, look, we want to help you, but, you know, we're kind of scared of you at the same time. Because Sigourney Weaver does have that kind of a presence about her.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed this film. I gave it a B. It's I think it's rated, hold on, let's see.
So far we're B, well, actually B plus, B, B, B. So we're kind of
right there. I mean, these are pretty good films. Yeah. And this is in wide release, although it's not on a huge number of screens. But it is Sigourney Weaver and Kevin Kline.
I know. Come on. They're great.
And they're funny. They kind of, you know, rekindle their relationship. And you're like, ooh, you guys are a little old. It's almost like watching Bros, except it's heteros.
Yeah, you kind of go, okay.
Okay, what's happening here?
Yeah. All right.
It's cute, though. But it does have a powerful message. And they're both very good in it.
What kind of release have we got?
I would say maybe 2,000 screens.
Yeah, so medium release.
Yeah, so you're going to have to look for it a little bit. But it's called The Good House. She's related to Sarah Good, who was one of the Salem witches.
Oh.
Yeah, so nearby we've got that witch thing going on. And she has this weird little telepathic thing she can do with people. If they put their hand over under her, she can kind of give their backstory.
Wow.
And it freaks people out a little bit. So they're both scared of her and kind of respect her.
Okay. Does it carry a rating? What?
I couldn't find it, but I think there's some language involved. So I would say it's either a hard PG-13 or a mild R.
Okay. All right. And again, it's called The Good House. Yeah. We're almost at the bottom of the hour. We still have a lot of things coming up, including some streaming news, and maybe we can do a little of the streaming reviews there, too.
Sure.
Maybe on one of them, at least. And one of them is Hocus Pocus 2.
Yeah. That's Disney Plus only.
That's right. And then also, you know, Blonde. When will that be in theaters? With a limited release, you mentioned.
It's already been in theaters.
It's now here.
Netflix as of Wednesday. It's on Netflix now.
So did it have much of a release here locally?
No, it's pretty much one of those, let's just do Los Angeles to get qualified for the Oscars.
Okay. Yeah, because I thought, man, I didn't hear anything about it being in theaters here.
Yeah, we have actually a Munsters, I mean, didn't even make the list, a Munsters movie.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
So we can mention that. And...
Oh, no. All right, I think it's time for a little streaming news.
Planning on a weekend of binge watching? Streaming your favorite movie or a new show? Doug and Steve sort through it all, so you only binge the best. It's the Movie Show Streaming Reviews on KSL News Radio.
You know, when I think of Wednesday Addams, I just think of Christina Ricci.
Yeah.
I mean, she was perfect. She was wonderful. How would you like to be Jenna Ortega, who is trying to fill those shoes? And not only is she trying to kind of measure up to the Wednesday Addams, not imitate, but measure up to what Christina Ricci delivered, you know, so many years ago, but then to realize that Christina's in the movie with you.
Oh, no.
As another character. So, anyway, you know, back in the 1990s movies adaptation of the Addams Family, I mean, really, Ricci was absolutely perfect. This is Wednesday is one of the most anticipated shows coming to Netflix this fall. And Ricci, she stars in the series as a new character. And Ortega told Empire Magazine, "I felt like I was genuinely having a panic attack when I was told that Christina Ricci was going to be in the film. I was terrified. She's really a cool lady, and it was really fine meeting her, and things ended up being great. But that would be a little intimidating, somebody who has created the iconic role. And then you're going to play it, and then she's in the same movie or the same series. Wednesday streams on Netflix from November 23rd of 2022, so coming up this November.
Have you seen the new trailer for Yellowstone Season 5?
I have not.
There is massive plot points delivered
really
in the new trailer. And I was like, oh my gosh, they're really telling us a lot of stuff that I had not anticipated. So watch the new trailer for Season 5, and of course, it comes out on November 13th on Paramount Plus.
Oh, I'm so excited for that. I really am. Prime Video announced that Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan, starring John Krasinski, will be back for Season 3 in December. He's being chased by both the CIA and deadly new enemies because Jack
This sounds
gets,
like Mission Impossible,
I know,
Ethan Hunt.
Jack gets wrongly accused of being a traitor himself, but unfortunately, this is going to be the end. Season 4 will be the last one for the show. And the streaming service is already planning spinoffs, however, focused on Michael Pena's mysterious character. So Season 3 of, you're not a big Pena
Wait,
fan,
so there's going to be a 3 and a 4?
Right.
Oh, okay.
So it'll end with 4.
Okay.
But Season 3 of Jack Ryan comes to Prime Video on December 21st, just in time for Christmas.
I know, what a weird time.
Yeah.
Well, we'll stay with the Jacks here on this Jack Reacher.
Jack Reacher.
Season
Jack
2
Reacher. Oh, I love this.
Is officially in production.
Yeah.
There's a picture of him holding up the slate
saying,
you know, act one, scene, whatever, and he's got his big smile on his face. I can't
So
wait.
When can we see it?
I think, well, at the end it said 2023. So
2023.
We're a ways off, but they're in production for Season 2 of Jack Reacher.
Okay. New Peacock docuseries, I Love You, You Hate Me. Do you know what this is about?
No idea.
Barney the Dinosaur.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Barney's first, he first appeared on screen in 1988 with Barney and the Backyard Gang. Then it went to PBS's Barney and Friends from 92 to 2010. And the character was featured in the 1998 film Barney's Great Adventure. Peacock announced in November 2021 that Barney's legacy was marred by a dark side. I Love You, You Hate Me in the trailer. It centers on the violent reaction to the character. Barney inspired, and they're sounds like much ado about nothing to me, but those who kind of miss the point in this very inclusive series and the sweetness of Barney. So some wondered whether the docuseries is actually going to be satirical or just flat silly, but who knows? So anyway, if you've...
I met Barney.
This sounds like... So you
and had a picture taken with Barney.
And trust me, you and are
it was
no
a very
Barney.
Strange picture.
Very strange picture. You don't remember all the jokes, though, about Barney. So I I don't know if this is going to be satirical. I don't know if it's meant to be funny, you know, kind of like a Christopher Guest docu thing or what. But yeah. And they're being real coy about it, so I don't know. Might be just stupid.
Munsters film debuted on Netflix this week. Rob Zombie is directed this with his wife. I don't know, like Flash Moon Zombie, whatever her
Who
name
plays
is.
Plays Herman.
Some dude I've never heard of.
Who
I
plays
watched
Grandpa.
Another dude. I'm telling you, I started watching this.
If you tell
this.
Me another dude is playing Marilyn, I'm going to be concerned.
Marilyn wasn't in. I watched the first 20 minutes of this, and I could not watch anymore.
You bailed? It's before you saw the arc of the?
Yes, I pulled a Doug here.
But before the third act?
Unwatchable. This is unwatchable.
I want everybody to take note that Steve bailed on a movie.
That I dug out.
You dug out. Okay.
Yeah, I dug out. I couldn't take it. I was just like, this is like my seventh movie of the week. And I thought, 15 minutes into this, this is so stupid. And, you know, how the fun, campy one originally.
Yeah.
I mean, the sets are kind of cool, but the dialogue and the conversations are so dumb.
Okay.
I just couldn't.
But other than that.
You can quote me on that. Nearly unwatchable.
Nearly unwatchable, says Steve Sells.
But the good news is She-Hulk, Attorney at Law, continues to delight me.
I have got to catch up on that.
There are two more Thursdays to go.
Where do we see She-Hulk?
She-Hulk is on Disney Plus. It's in the part of the Marvel group.
Yeah.
It is funny. She had a blind date. I mean, it's funny because everybody loves She-Hulk, but the poor girl, Jen Walters, is like, whatever. And so when a guy says, I'm more interested in Jen than I am in She-Hulk, and she's like,
Oh.
He meets him at a wedding. I mean, it's so different and so funny.
Okay.
Love She-Hulk. And then
finally,
all 25 James Bond films will be streaming on Amazon Prime Video next week beginning October 5th.
Wow.
25.
You can binge them.
Well, that'd be quite a binge.
That'd be like 50 hours.
That's, about 50 hours.
So if you want to devote, you know, 2.5 full days to this with no sleep.
Settle in.
You're all set and ready to go.
The Movie Show.
You don't want to be in the way when my laser goes off.
Hey, a laser? How come you don't have a laser, Woody?
It's not a laser. It's a little light bulb that blinks.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Tis the Movie Show here at KSL News Radio. And, Stephen.
Sir?
I'm thinking.
No, don't do it.
No. We must do it. So many throngs of people would be disappointed if we were to overlook this most prestigious segment. Now, ladies and gentlemen,
I think your definition of throng is much
different.
It is
time. I didn't say thong. I said throng.
I also said throng.
Okay. It is time for the Movie Show Top
10.
Hello. I'm Mr. Ed.
Is there a hazard? Does KSL offer hazard pay?
For what?
For this.
For something this glorious?
Oh, yeah, that's it.
You know, the Movie Show Top 10, which is sponsored.
I want to raise.
Good luck on that.
Yeah,
so does D. Okay, so do I. All right, it's time for the Movie Show Top 10, sponsored by Call Climate Services. Stephen.
Yes.
And number 10, The Minions. They have been in the top 10 for 13 weeks. About $366 million in domestic money. And what have we got internationally?
By the way, they are actually ahead of Top Gun Maverick worldwide.
What?
Yes.
No.
They're at $1.683 billion. Top Gun is at $1.677 billion.
The Minions?
Yeah.
Remember, we were talking about that a couple of weeks ago.
I know. I thought the same thing.
We hit a billion.
The numbers, they're at 1.3 foreign. I don't know. Maybe they forgot a foreign market, but they suddenly are just, they just surged.
Did the Chinese finally jump on board?
I don't know. Maybe. That's a very good possibility.
Wow.
But all of a sudden, they just flew.
Wow.
Minions. Crazy.
18 weeks in the top 10 for Top Gun Maverick. About $712 million domestically.
See, now they're doing much better in domestic, but in foreign, they're at only $965, whereas
only
Minions is at $1.3 billion.
Yeah, they're only just under a billion. Yeah,
that's
crazy.
Some good numbers.
DC League of Super Pets. I'll tell you, I'm still surprised at how much I like this movie. It's been in the top 10 for 9 weeks. Is that catching fire internationally?
Oh, much more than it is domestically. They're at 307 foreign, about to go over the $400 million mark.
Well, haven't we seen that in our time reviewing movies together and doing the movie show together? The shift and the focus now on international numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it was always an interesting factor. And, you know, even back in the old days, boy, you know, when World War II was breaking out, they say, well, hey, you know, we need to be careful because, you know, we make a lot of money in Germany and we make a lot of money in the UK and so on. Nothing compared to today.
And that's still missing Russia and Ukraine.
I know. They're just nuts. Bullet Train. Again, the reason to see this is Brad Pitt. It's not really a great movie, but it's okay and it's fun. Popcorn movie.
Yeah, $100 million. It just went over in domestic, but at $247 foreign, it's a $347.
Pearl. I still am traumatized by even thinking that I sat through this movie. I walk into the theater where it was screened, and I break out in a sweat. I hated this movie, but all of the chic and elite people like Pearl.
Actually,
it does very well on Rotten Tomatoes because it's rotten to the core.
Well, the horror fans are embracing it. It's only at $7 million, so it's not.
Yeah.
But they only cost like one or two to make.
Did it cost that much? $5? And that was just because of the poultry that
the
bit
goose,
the dust.
They had to
reimburse the farmer. Okay, hated that movie. But other than that, it was great. Okay, See How They Run. I have not seen this yet, but it's been out 2 weeks, a little over $6 million domestically.
It's a fun little whodunit. Okay. Seven domestic, six foreign at 13.
Barbarian. This was not great cinema. Out 3 weeks.
It was for a while, and then it...
Yeah. Avatar, the re-release, and it's cranked out another almost $11 million domestically.
Yeah, but another 37 foreign, so it picked up $50 million last week.
$50 million, just kind of like, oh, let's show it again.
So, you know, with that in mind, it is now almost about to go over will be the first movie to have ever gone over $3 billion.
Crazy, and we got to do this really fast. The Woman King, I still need to catch up on that, but, you know, it has not done great.
38 domestic, 2 foreign, is it 40?
Okay, and Don't Worry, Darling, Lebed Cinema. This is really a bizarre movie, but it was the number one movie last week, but just barely $20 million.
It's at 23 and 14 for 37. So. Okay.
Well, I think it's time for some quirky picks of the week.
It's the official quirky pick of the week on the KSL Movie Show.
Okay. Dee, good to have you back. You were in Missouri last week.
Yes, and it's always good to be back.
Here, let me help you with that.
Oh, my gosh.
That
I'm having such
underneath.
A hard time. I can't decide if I'm left-eared or right-eared with my microphone and headset.
Oh, you're definitely right-eared.
Is everybody? Well, you're left-eared.
No, you're W-R-I-G-H-T, eared.
Oh. Ooh, okay.
You're not going to be here all week, are you?
Oh, the look on Steve's face is just priceless.
Like a dad joke.
But I'm bummed. Thank you. I will be here.
You know what?
Week.
One of my favorite things to hear on the movie show
is what, me signing off.
Is the end?
Is when I'm driving along and I hear Steve refer to me as your wife.
My wife.
Has your wife seen this?
Yeah.
I'm like, don't I got no name?
Well, at least he's not saying, hey, the old lady see this?
That's true. You good
know,
point. So.
Well, I think, I don't know if people know, well, obviously by now they know Dee, who Dee is.
When well, I they might not, you. Though. They might wonder why I come drifting in at 11 o'clock and who am I?
You're the little woman.
And why? Oh, no.
Wow.
You just set mankind back a few decades.
I know. Well, our son calls me the old man.
Well, that's appropriate, but...
He said, hey, I'm going to tell some old man stories here. And he just embellishes all of the wonderful things that
Where
I do.
Where did he get that? Where did
makes
he get
sound,
embellishment? Where would that come
ridiculous.
From?
Makes me sound ridiculous. So what have you got for
well,
us this week?
So I have been traveling some, a little off my game, because, you know, when I go back to Missouri, I'm not in charge of the TV set, and so there's a lot of reality TV going on.
Isn't
and
that how you got below deck?
Let's not go there. But anyway, what I did watch on the plane was a documentary that I had never seen, and I don't know if you've seen it either. It's on. It's called Brian Wilson, Long Promised Road.
I want to see that. You recommended that to me when you
did. You
came
see
home.
It, Steve?
I have not seen it. Yeah.
So I'm assuming it was produced by Netflix because that's. No, I don't know that it was produced by Netflix. I don't know. Take that back. Rewind. I don't know where it came from. But anyway, it has a unique little angle in that the storyline includes this Rolling Stone editor and longtime friend of Brian Wilson's named Jason Fine. And I guess they met when they were both younger. And Brian, you know, has all of his kind of mental health issues and had a lot of trouble with press and trusting people and all of that, and they became actual friends. So they've had this long friendship. Yeah. So it's kind of a documentary of them together. It's very sweet. You'll see him in the car, and then when they get out and go visit places, he'll be holding Brian's hand. Mm-hmm. Brian's somewhat childlike, although he's very articulate. He's 80 years old now.
Wow,
and he sings and all of that, and it's just, I mean, they have some singing, but they do a lot of interviews with Elton John, Springsteen. Bruce Springsteen is very prominent in this, talking about how impressionable he was of Brian Wilson.
The
genius. They talk about him just as like the greatest musical genius ever, which I think is recognized how great his talent is.
In rock and roll circles, behind the scenes, I mean, whether you're talking with Paul McCartney, Elton John, or as you mentioned,
exactly.
Springsteen, and
yeah.
everybody else, are all going, wow.
The harmonies, the musicianship, I think it's more than we can realize when we're thinking about good vibrations and stuff like that. It's just.
Well, remember in Love and Mercy, you know, how he's out talking with one of the producers who's worked with everybody and their dog, and he goes, man, Brian, you have nothing.
Well, when was it Animal Sounds?
Pet Sounds.
Well, and I was going to kind of juxtaposition that to Love and Mercy, which we all like so much, 2014, with a great performance by Paul Dano.
Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah, and John Cusack Paul Giamatti. I mean, that's a wonderful one, too. But
this is the real deal.
This is a documentary, and it's him being very open and very candid. It's very
the thing about Love and Mercy, though, you know, you don't want to discount that because at the end you see Brian, and he's singing the song Love and Mercy, and he was very much involved.
The Wilson family vetted that very highly.
I think he was pretty terrified to be out in public, but now he's kind of embraced it.
Yep. Yeah, he hasn't. So this documentary, Brian Wilson, Long Promised Road, it's interesting. It's directed by Brent Wilson, and no relation.
I kept
looking and looking to see if it was a son, a nephew, something like that.
Right.
No relation. But I would recommend it. I stumbled up on it. I did see it's available. Now my brain is coming back. It's available on demand for purchase. So anyway, it was good. And then the other thing that I would like to cover are all the things I didn't like and I couldn't watch and I tried.
Uh-huh. Well, The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Well, now that's not one of them. Oh. I did watch that because I am loyal to my city and I'm loyal to my state.
We actually have a connection here.
And I think if you are loyal, you need to watch The Real Housewives because you'll see some of your favorite restaurants. And we have a friend on it, Angie Katsanavis, who's on it. And she's becoming one of the housewives, and they're friends of our family, the community members. They have the Lunatic Fringes
and Paul Mitchell
schools, and she's a real nice lady. She's a sweet woman. I can't imagine how she's going to get into the drama. But anyway, so I did loyally watch it. Did you, Steve?
Of course not.
I have not either.
Okay, well, guys.
I'm counting on you.
Be nice. I'm here for you. Any questions, bring them on.
We expect that, and that's why
Did they deal with the woman who got in trouble with the law?
She's on this season.
Oh,
now,
she is.
When it was shot, Jen Shaw, S-H-A-H, Shaw is my family's name back in Missouri, but that's S-H-A-W. But when it was shot, she hadn't done her final court thing where she did ultimately plead guilty.
It's a part of the show still?
It's coming up. I mean, yes, she's in it and doesn't know where it's going yet. It's a little weird to watch when you have local news and you kind of know where it went, but now they're starting back and they don't know where it's going at this point, if that makes any sense. But I did watch it.
I don't know where it's going.
I know. And
you don't care.
Oh, please. All right. I insist you be nice. I will represent you.
Watch out.
She's stomping her feet.
She is stomping her feet.
But the things I did try to watch, and I couldn't watch, and I might have missed your review. I might have been in the shower. I really tried to watch Blonde. I like biopics or biopics make your
biopics,
pick.
Yeah.
Biopics. And I love old Hollywood. Yeah. And it's produced by Brad Pitt, Jessica Chastain. I watched Julianne Nicholson. I watched it until she was debating drowning Norma Jean.
When
and then
did you
I,
watch Blonde?
Well, one of the many nights that she went to bed early and I stayed up. Okay.
Well, you know, it's a three-hour movie.
Well, I couldn't get through it. I got a little traumatized. Tell me, should I?
I'm telling you, the trauma continues.
Have you reviewed it yet? I'm sorry.
No, we haven't talked about it.
Well, this is a good time.
Yeah, we can talk about it now. It's 3 hours. Ana de Armas is absolutely unbelievable.
She looks beautiful in the pictures. I didn't quite get that far.
But it's all the psychological damage that has happened to Norma Jean. And it really reiterates that Marilyn Monroe was a character that she played. Mm-hmm. Norma Jean was this simple girl who, you know, had all this trauma with family and whatnot. And they go through all of that. And it's actually she has to get into character to be Marilyn Monroe. Yeah. Which was really difficult for her because she's so subdued. And people just thought she was, you know, you're Marilyn Monroe. Mm-hmm. But it's not, and I thought they did a nice job delineating Norma Jean from Marilyn. The problem is that they focus on a lot of the tragedy, and I get that. But this is such a difficult movie to watch because of, the things about Jack Kennedy, and that scene is ugly, and the Joe DiMaggio, I guess he slapped her around a bit.
Yeah.
So they only called him the athlete in the movie or the playwright when Miller.
Arthur Miller.
Oh, no, they definitely mentioned JFK.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
And so it's all these psychological just beatdowns that she gets through a three-hour movie. But you're watching her, and she's so good. So the performance is everything. And the movie is just traumatizing.
And Jessica Chastain plays her in her 30s. Is that how they move it through?
I don't recall.
I looked it up, and it said that the De Armas played.
She picks her up from
young Marilyn Monroe.
No, she goes all the way.
Oh, okay, all the way.
Yeah.
So Jessica Chastain does something else that you don't know what. Yeah. Well, you know, this is so interesting to me because I listen to this podcast called "You Must Remember This," and it's a woman who's a researcher and she does old Hollywood. It's the first 100 years of Hollywood. She does a segment on Marilyn Monroe that is exactly like that. Not so much the trauma, but she talks about her getting into character to be Marilyn Monroe, that she truly wasn't that character.
You know, a lot of great performers are that way, though. You know, we talk about Minnie Pearl, for example.
Yeah. Yeah.
Minnie
yeah.
Pearl was a highly educated, you know, just almost society lady. And then she'd put on that persona. And everybody thinks Minnie Pearl,
she's
found
a hick.
Her.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you look at Gracie Allen, and you look at some of the great people.
Yeah.
When they went on stage or on screen, they were not themselves. They were playing the character that they were expected to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's some really strange things.
Like, 3 hours, though, right?
Yeah, it's close to three. Maybe 2 hours and 57 minutes, something like that.
Yeah.
Remember, Steve's timer goes off at about 2:17.
I mean, I stuck with this because I was so enchanted with Ana de Armas' her portrayal. But, I mean, time after time, it's just, men, it's awful.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't realize that Chaplin's son and Edward G. Robinson's son were really close friends. And so the three of them
started. Was it Sidney?
I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
But
Sidney was Chaplin's brother.
Oh, brother. Okay.
The three of them got together and had a little tryst going on. And it gets a little spicy. But I was still looking for the NC-17 part of this movie.
Yeah.
And maybe it's an accumulation of things. But it's not an easy watch. But if she doesn't get nominated, I don't know what they're doing.
We might need to watch that.
What's your grade on it?
I actually didn't even. It's probably in the B- area.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, again, though, the performance is everything. And all the other stuff is horrifying.
Yeah. So I tried to watch Lou with Allison Janney,
whom I really love.
West Wing.
Movie.
She is my favorite person. Yeah. Well, there's animal torture in the beginning. Who could watch that?
Oh, right.
Yeah. So
remember, that's a disqualifying factor.
Did not watch Lou.
Okay.
Animal lovers. Unite.
We'll just skip that part and go on because it's
it is good.
It is.
She's a wonderful
actress.
She is
the toughest.
Yeah, she's a wonderful actress. And then I tried to watch Father Stew.
Okay.
Did you watch it?
I did.
Yeah, I just lost interest. I was putting together
a puzzle.
Now,
the one you told me about, the Good House.
I didn't see it. I just know it was coming, but I heard your review. It sounds interesting.
Yeah, no, I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what I know is not much.
All right.
I know about Brian Wilson. That's all.
Well, on that note, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, wait a minute. Didn't we talk to Brian Wilson once with the Murray School District when we were doing a fundraiser for Hurricane Katrina?
Yep, that's the only time I interviewed Brian
Wilson.
Well,
I connected the interview for you. It was so offbeat because he had donated some money to somebody contacted him, a little fan student.
Yeah.
He donated money.
School music.
I contacted KSL, connected the interview for Doug, and you interviewed Brian Wilson,
I interviewed Brian Wilson.
Yeah. Who knew?
What a kick, too. I mean, I was just so in awe that I was talking to Brian Wilson. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Well, nobody cares about that probably but us, but it's a special moment for us.
No, it is weird when you meet your icons like John Denver.
He was on the phone. And so I didn't actually meet
John Denver face-to-face. Grabbed my hand and lifted me off the ground, and I'm no small human. Pound for pound, he might be the strongest creature on the planet. He was just, hey, how you doing? Wham, wham. Just, in fact, ragdolled me. I couldn't believe it. Little John Denver.
Okay.
I mean, it's just weird how you don't expect that kind of thing.
Oh, look at the time.
Okay, time for me to go.
If Doug doesn't have a story, we're done.
He's met John Denver a couple times. So.
I have like three or four John Denver stories. So
we'll do the after hours.
The first one was really good. The second one was not so good. The third one, he stood Chris Hicks and me up for an interview because he was getting in character.
Was this Oh God?
No, it was something that they were shooting up kind of up in the Sundance area.
Oh.
You know, so he went through an interesting evolution over the years.
Well, I'm going shopping.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Well, okay.
See you later.
I guess she's trying to tell
us
something.
That is a threat, I believe.
The Movie Show.
We'll soon find out that some wizarding families are better than others, Potter. You don't want to go making friends with the wrong sort.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Well, Steve, there are fabulous prizes worth up to dollars on the line right now, because as you know, it's time for telephone torture. And Steve, I'm going for it.
Good luck.
Good luck on what?
Getting what you think you're going to get out of doing five.
Five? Wow, see, he picked up on it. We're looking for caller number 5 at KSL Talk, 575-8255. Yeah, after that incident with the snowblower. So anyway.
And the chainsaw.
And the chainsaw and everything else. Okay, we're looking for caller number 5 at KSL Talk. Here's what's at stake. Megaplex Theaters, despite their much better judgment, actually sponsors this segment. And they have provided 2 tickets to go see a movie, 2 drinks while you're there, and a tub of popcorn to share.
And continuing the classic series this week is Charade.
Charade. That's a great show.
I have never seen that on the big screen. And
really?
I've seen it, but not on. Yeah. Cary Grant, Audrey Hepburn.
I know.
Are you kidding?
I know. The way you're supposed to see.
Prettiest people ever.
Oh, man. Okay, so thanks to the Megaplex Theaters, and let's go to the phone line. And I think because it's conference weekend, we need to be particularly gentle and kind and sweet today, don't you?
Who are you? What have you done with Douglas?
Well, let's go talk to the first loser. Hi, who's this?
Hey, good morning to you. Bad morning for me. This is Tom.
Okay, Tom, you're caller number 1, and you know what that means.
Again.
Yeah. Do you just sit there all week with every digit punched except the last one?
That's absolutely the truth.
It is true. He doesn't sleep or anything. He just sits there with his finger on that last
number.
Honey,
we have to go to the grocery store. No.
No. I might be a winner on the movie show, and this is, Sunday afternoon.
He's number 1.
Okay. Well, way to go, Tom, but we are going to have to loserize you. You know that.
I know.
There's no escape.
I believe he lives for it.
Yeah, he lives for this. Gustavo, let's just do it.
Nuke him.
You didn't win the prize? You know what that means? It means you have no skills and you're a loser!
Ooh!
Who's that?
I don't know. Now let's go back. Yeah, it's Squidward.
Oh,
from SpongeBob. Yeah, okay.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Was that your Sean Connery? No, that was his Sean Connery imitation there. Okay, let's go back to the phone line. This will be potential winner number 2. Hi, who's this?
This is Vicki.
Hey, how are you?
I'm a loser.
Wow.
You know, I like the fact
right out there
that you just step up and you embrace it, and we're just going to...
I'm just going to own it.
Yeah, you might as well own it when you're a loser, and so let's just go ahead and push the button here, Gustavo. Here
we go. I'm a loser.
Yep.
Still a loser.
Okay. This is such a delicate segment that we do every week.
You love it so.
Designed to just make people feel better about themselves.
I think
this is like therapy. Let's go back to the phone line, and this will be caller number 3. Hi, who's this? Hello?
Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
Good, good.
No, you're not. No, no, no.
I'm a loser. I thought I'd be after number 5, but here I am.
No, you're number 3, which means, we're just going to have to push the button on you. Go for it, Gustavo.
On my planet, I am kind of a loser, like you.
And he's referring to Steve in that case.
That I know. That's
a loser
Venom.
Like you. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's Venom. Okay. Speaking of Venom, this person is going to be the last loser of the day. They're so close.
Of the month.
The last loser of September 2022. It's something you can have a plaque made. You can take photos of something and put it up on the wall. Okay. Hi, who's this?
Yes.
Hello.
Hello. We hear you breathing. Who's this?
This is Rick.
Rick, you are so close, but you're so far away. We're looking for caller number 5. You are caller number 4.
I thought I had it.
No, you don't got it. And you know what that makes you?
A loser.
That is so true.
So close.
Gustavo, do it.
Le who? The her.
He was kind today. He didn't beck anybody.
You said it was conference weekend.
Oh, so that's right. That's right. We're
what's
kinder.
He supposed to do?
We're kinder, gentler.
Kill them all.
Telephone torture. Okay. Now let's go to the phone line one final time, and let's find out who the big wiener is. Hi, who's this? Hello?
You've got to be kidding me. This is Rick again.
Rick!
I got through.
Congratulations.
The comeback kid.
We had proclaimed you a loser, and you just turned it around, and you made yourself a big, name it.
Winner.
No, it's a wiener.
Oh, wiener.
You are a big wiener. Of course you are. You've won fabulous
He's
prizes.
Hoping nobody he knows
That's
is listening.
Right. He goes, oh, please, don't let my mom be listening right now. Okay. So you've won fabulous prizes worth up to?
Dollars.
Dollars, of course you have. You are going to win 2 tickets to the Megaplex Theaters, 2 drinks to enjoy while you are there, a tub of popcorn to gorge yourself on. And what movie are you going to go see?
I don't even know. I'm going to have to look and make a big decision there.
He's stunned by his
I know
prize-winning moment.
He's stunned by the fact that he's a big wiener and not a loser like we had proclaimed him just a little while ago. Now, before we can bestow these fabulous prizes upon you, there is one little chore that you have to do to make the losers feel better about themselves today, and I'm sure you know what to do.
Let's send them over to old Frank Sinatra.
Nice.
See Uncle Frank.
Here it is.
Bless him all.
Imagine
Frank.
The orchestra that day.
I know.
What are we doing today?
We're recording what?
I'm sorry. What?
It's the song about losers? Oh, well, maybe we should have practiced.
I got my kazoo. Let's go.
Okay. There you have it. It's an epic moment in broadcasting every week.
Sadly.
Here on KSL News Radio.
The Movie Show.
Una puta solo?
Yes, Greedo. As a matter of fact, I was just going to see your boss. Tell Java that I've got his money.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Okay, before we hit the end of the hour, we need to talk about Buried, 1982 Alpine Meadows Avalanche. And do we have sound on this? Or?
Yeah.
Here we go.
I will never forget the morning of the 31st, waking up and seeing the snow. It was snowing sideways. The wind sounded like a jet engine.
When we found out the mountain was closed that morning, we headed back into the house. It wasn't like there was any premonition there. It was just, yeah, stay here, be warm.
I called and Bernie answered the phone. Then he said, hold on.
And then...
Wow. Wow, Avalanche. You know, for anybody who's been in the backcountry and that, you sometimes you look around and go, what would I do? Where would I go? What would happen if this just broke loose?
Not much you can do, to be honest, if you're in the middle of it. This was 1982. Alpine Meadows is a ski resort on the northwest end of Lake Tahoe. From the top of the mountain, you can see the lake.
Right.
It's near Squaw Valley, which is they've now changed that name because, you know, it's inappropriate.
Yeah.
But like she said, in March of 1982, they had 11 feet of new snow in 7 days. And on this particular day, it was so bad that they, much to their credit, they did not open the ski resort. But there were still people that, you know, worked there at the lodge.
Condominiums.
And the condos nearby. In fact, it was a father, his brother, and his young daughter were walking along the road when the thing broke at about 3:40 in the afternoon, and they were just carried away.
Wow.
And 7 people died, but one woman actually survived 4 days under there. This is really – all these tight-knit ski patrol guys are all looking out for each other. You know, they go up there and they throw the bombs. They even had the mortar shells. I mean, this resort is a bowl, and it is rated A for the worst avalanche danger possibility on the planet. They've actually changed the name of the resort. It's now – I think it's called Palisades Tahoe, just because of the name, you know, the stigma
of
the people that died that day. But it's an amazing film. If you've ever been on the ski patrol or ever, if you enjoy skiing, Buried is a movie you're going to want to see. It's playing at the Broadway and I think a couple other places, but a little tough to find.
Quickly, let's talk Hocus Pocus 2. I mentioned that I tried to delve into that the other day and the password, whatever it was, wasn't working. So did you like it?
I did. I didn't care for the first one. I thought it was kind of goofy. And it kind of bugged me that these witches were eating children. I thought, that's kind of creepy on several levels. But they don't show up. The Sanderson sisters, you know, Bette Midler and Sarah Jessica Parker and Ninjani.
Najimi.
Kathy Najimi.
Yeah, there we go.
The Sanderson sisters don't show up until 28 minutes into the movie, and then they kind of soft-pedal them. They're not the mean, crazy people that they were before.
Okay.
Eventually, it actually gets kind of fun and cute. So I actually liked Hocus Pocus 2 better than the first one.
Okay.
And that's 29 years later after the first one.
Well, hey, that pretty much does it for our
Disney
movie
Plus,
show
by the way.
Today.
That's the only
on Disney Plus. Yeah. That does it for the movie show today. Have a great weekend and tonight. When you go home, please make sure that you hug the people you love.
Yeah,
all right. Ever.